scout. I started very early in baseball. Ever since I can remember, I was playing some kind of baseball. I came from a large family. We had six boys and three girls, and we always were playing baseball. I played American Legion. I played high school, and I also played for a semi-pro coal mining team. In high school, I was much sought after, and approximately 12 or 13 scouts had scouted me. But one day, Joe Bowen and Rex Bowen, who then scouted with the Brooklyn Dodgers, and Joe Bowen is now my boss with Cincinnati, had a tryout camp in Washington, Pennsylvania. And I hitchhiked to the tryout camp, and it was about 26 miles from my home. And I must have showed up pretty good at the tryout camp because Joe Bowen sent in a report about me to Brooklyn. Although I'd been scouted by 12 or 13 other clubs, somebody came and picked me up by the name of Jim Murray and drove me to Brooklyn, and I worked out at Ebbets Field with Branch Rickey. Although I hit the ball real well and I showed up pretty good as a hitter, Branch Rickey signed me as a pitcher because I couldn't run that well. I couldn't go out and play because I was only 16 years old when I graduated, and I still had American Legion eligibility. So I played American Legion that summer and played semi-pro for the coal mining teams in the area. But I sat out a whole summer because of my age. I remember the Mid-Atlantic League real well. As a matter of fact, Uniontown had an entry in that league called the Coal Barons. And Uniontown is approximately 12 miles from where I was born. And we had a semi-pro all-star team play the Uniontown Coal Barons. And what I remember of the game was how further along and how polished these ball players, who were only Class C ball players at the time, appeared to me because I was just a high school kid. Being from Brownsville, East Millsboro, which is approximately 40 or 50 miles southwest of Pittsburgh, I was always a Pittsburgh Pirate fan, and listened to Rosie Rosewell and all of his broadcasts of the Pittsburgh Pirates. The nickname Sears was never used, and I'm not sure where the media got a hold of that nickname, because I was very, very seldom called Sears. I signed in October of 1948, and that spring I went to Vero Beach, the spring of 1949. That's the first time I'd ever been away from home, and I'd never seen so many ball players in my life. There was approximately 500 ball players at Vero Beach. But apparently I did real well in the spring training part, because I was elevated to a Class B ball club and was sent to Newport News, Virginia, in the real fast Piedmont League. And being only 17 years old, that was quite a jump. And the reason why the Dodgers started me so high is because I had such a good spring training. But looking back now, I believe it was a mistake, because the competition was too advanced for me. I won 8 and lost 14 ball games that year. And in my first start, I walked 11 and struck out 10 and lost 2-1. That was my first year in 1949, and it didn't prove much because in 1950 I was sent back to Newport News. Al Campanis was my manager at Newport News in 1950, and he promised me that if I would pitch every 3 days and get my control, that I would be elevated to double-A baseball, which is what happened. In the middle of the season, I was sent to Fort Worth, Texas. And when I got there, something very funny happened because they were looking for a left-handed relief pitcher, and they thought that I was left-handed. That's how many pitchers they had in the Dodger organization. That's how unknown I was. But I was with Fort Worth for about a month, and then I was sent to Elmira, New York, Class A ball. I finished the season in Elmira, New York, by going 0-8. I never won a ball game. I lost all 8 decisions. That was in 1950. At this particular time, I was a power pitcher, a fastball, curveball, fastball that moved type pitcher. Then when I was so unsuccessful at Elmira, at the end of the season, I started throwing a slider. In 51, I went back to Elmira again. By now, I'd become a little bit more polished as a pitcher. I knew how to throw balls that sank. I could throw sliders, and my control was much better. As a matter of fact, I think this was a real big point in my maturity. I pitched with Elmira in 51 and did real well. As a matter of fact, I was very close to the low earned run average. And I ended up with a season of like 14-7. And that was the year that we got married. My wife and I got married. And we got married on the same day as Don Zimmer and his wife. And Don and Soot got married at home plate at Dunn Field. And we were married in church the same day. The next year, in 1952, I was elevated to Montreal. I skipped double-A ball entirely and went to Montreal, and I had a real fine season. As a matter of fact, several scouts were dispatched to Montreal to see me during the season, as they had thoughts of bringing me up to the parent ball club. However, that never materialized, and I finished the 1952 season with a real fine earned run average, and I believe I won 12 and lost 8. Also that year, I probably had the greatest day or night that I've ever had in my career in Buffalo. I had a no-hitter with 2 outs in the 7th inning, and ended up pitching a one-hitter, and I went 4-for-4 hitting for the cycle. At this point in time, my best pitch was becoming more and more the sinking fastball. And the parent ball club, the Brooklyn Dodgers, definitely were interested in making me a relief pitcher. Now that I was in AAA baseball, there were very, very many Dodger prospects on the Montreal club because of the higher classification. Whereas in Elmira, we only had Don Zimmer and myself from the ball club that reached the majors. on these Montreal clubs, we had Don Hoke, Junior Gilliam, Walter Morin, and a host of others that were to play in the major league. Some of the other players on the Montreal ball clubs, which I played for in 1952, 53, and 54, were Tom Lasorda, the manager of the Dodgers. He was a left-handed pitcher with Montreal. Joe Black. As I said, I played with Montreal in 1952, 53, and 54. The 55 season was my first in the major. Going back to Elmira in 1951, I remember particularly about the real good team spirit we had. The best ball players don't stick out in my mind as much as it seemed to be a group of players that really liked to play together. Don Zimmer was a shortstop, of course, and I believe he and I were the only ones to go to the major leagues. George Fallon was the manager, and probably the most memorable thing that I remember of Elmira is Sykes Grill, where all the ball players ate. I do remember Schoolboy Rowe managing Williamsport, and also Tommy Holmes playing for Hartford, which was a Brave chain. And the good players at Scranton. I believe four players went from Scranton to the major leagues at the end of the 51 season. Don Zimmer was my best friend in 1951, and he still remains as one of my best friends. He is now managing the Texas Rangers, and I hear from him quite often. As a matter of fact, last year when he was with Boston, we went out to see him at Angel Stadium on several occasions. I don't remember the Eastern League being that tough for travel. Of course, I was young then, and I probably didn't pay that much attention, but I remember the ballparks as being very clean and very nice and well kept. The ballpark at Elmira, Dunfield, was a very, very good ballpark. It was a good ballpark to pitch in, and it was a very, very homey sort of ballpark, and there was always a lot of people there. I remember Elmira as being a very, very sports, baseball interested town. The Dodger farm system in the early 50s had 26 or 27 farm clubs, and they had a lot of good ball players. Nowadays, in the minor leagues, there are approximately 5 farm clubs for most of the team. So in the process, one can readily see that there are a lot of ball players that are missed, that don't have a place to play. Ball players that are released and probably could have played in the major leagues. Probably when we were in the minor leagues in the early 50s, there were probably more good-looking prospects than any other time in baseball, because so many players were allowed to play. There were so many different places for them to play. I would have to say that at that time, the minor leagues were much stronger with talent than they are now. Probably the best minor league players at the time were players like Rocky Nelson, Don Richmond, Jack Walsea. It appeared that the real good hitters in the minor leagues would hit me real well while we were in the minors, but then when we got to the major leagues, the same hitter that hit me real well in the minors didn't hit me as well in the majors. Rocky Nelson was that way. In winter ball, Rocky really owned me as far as hitting was concerned. And yet, when he was on the Cardinal Club or the Pirate Club, and I was with the Dodgers, he didn't have as much success hitting against me. All in all, I remember the minors as being, the ballparks not being real bad, and the conditions weren't real bad. As a matter of fact, they had quite a few new ballparks then. The umpiring was very, very good, I thought. We really didn't have very many rhubarbs because of the umpiring. At the present time, I'm scouting with the Cincinnati Reds. I played baseball for 19 years. 10 years in the majors and 9 years in the minors. Besides the Brooklyn Dodgers, I played with the LA Dodgers, the Washington Senators, and the Philadelphia Phillies. And my last year was in 1967. In 1968, I became a scout with the Atlanta Braves. And I scouted with the Atlanta Braves until 1974, at which time I went with the Dodgers, and I was with the Dodgers until the end of the 1980 season. Good luck with your book, Jerry, and send me a copy.